Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point. With your host, Dan Rennie.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I'd like to stop to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we broadcast from today in the west end of Brisbane. Also pay my respects to elders past and present. And a shout out to all the TOs right around the country where our program goes out to. It's wonderful to have your company. Well, a failure of leadership over many, many years has allowed the culture of sexism, racism, fear and silence to take hold unchecked within the Queensland Police Service, that scathing inquiry report has found. The Commission of Inquiry into Queensland Police Service Response to Domestic and Family Violence has made 78 recommendations. Joining us to discuss today is Scott McDougall, the Queensland Human Rights Commissioner. Good morning and welcome to you, Scott.
Good morning, Dan.
Look, 78 recommendations there. I think one of the most significant that piqued my interest was the recommendation to establish a civilian police integrity unit that would handle complaints, stop the controversial practice of the police investigating each other. What did you make of that one?
Yeah, I think that is a really important recommendation that hopefully will be given priority by the government. You know, as a former criminal lawyer myself, I found myself in the position where I would advise clients that they could make a complaint against a police officer for whatever treatment was meted out, but had to set realistic expectations about what the outcome of that complaint would be, simply because so few complaints were resulting in any meaningful action being taken against officers. So it's definitely an area for improvement, and I think the civilian element is absolutely essential.
Last time we spoke with you last week, you know, you painted that history of the Queensland Police Force and how it was established. We had Katarina Carroll, the Commissioner, on last week, and, you know, she was obviously aware, but I don't think that filters down to, you know, all the way through to police recruits. You know, we're talking about beyond that surface level awareness training. Does that deep historic education piece need to happen, you know, from one of these recommendations?
Yeah, it absolutely does. So what we do have now is a fantastic opportunity to reach the rank and file of police, but also to ensure that police that are coming into the force are the right sort of police for the job. And a huge part of the job, as we know, is dealing with people on the street, many of whom are exhibiting signs of, you know, mental illness. So the job of a police officer today is vastly different to the job of a police officer 30, 40 years ago, and the recruitment processes need to reflect that difference. And that's something that my commission has now got a responsibility for reviewing as a result of the recommendations of this report.
We also spoke to the Commissioner about a number of whistleblowers, namely Richard Monet, who, you know, we had on the show recently, among others. What did you make of Richie's comments? And you heard the chat with Katarina.
Look, it's disturbing. I guess I have to say, Dan, that because my commission does receive complaints about matters, it's not appropriate for me to comment about individual matters. But certainly, the description of it is very disturbing.
And since then, I've probably had four or five others come to me. And, yeah, look, we could keep going with this series for non-stop. But, you know, just to put a bow on it and to figure out where we go from here.
Yeah, so, I mean, when I listened to the audio of those conversations in the Watch House, I mean, what really disturbed me was that these were conversations that those officers felt very comfortable happening. And that points to a culture of tolerance of that sort of behaviour. And it really does show that it is systemic. It's not just a case of a few rotten apples. It's a systemic issue that really needs a systemic response. It's going to take a lot more than simply just appointing a First Nations reference group or a First Nations unit. It's going to take a lot more than that. And education is really key, and it's not the only part. So the other thing that struck me about those conversations is the way that officer was talking about burying Aboriginal people. If an officer really truly understood that history that I talked about last week, I just don't think that they would. Well, if they did, then they certainly, you know, don't belong in the force. This person doesn't belong in the force, full stop. But I don't think your average officer who really understood the history and the dynamics and how even today police continue to play out this habitual process of repeating patterns of policing that were started back in the late 1800s. That's the sort of education that Queensland Police need. I do think the truth-telling process that will eventually come to Queensland, whether it's at a state or federal level, it's going to come. I do think that is such a great opportunity for the Queensland Police to actually educate their officers, to get them in a room with Aboriginal people and hear and feel the pain that is inevitably going to come out, and get a real appreciation that when people say, oh, you need to have a trauma-informed practice, well, this is why, and this is, you know, the reality of generations handing over that trauma, police also handing over their culture to the next generation. So we do have a really good opportunity at this point to break that police culture that has allowed this to happen, but it's going to take, you know, a lot more than just a few piecemeal token gestures.
Yes. I've been speaking to Richie quite frequently over the last number of weeks, and, you know, he's telling me that this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to, you know, that long-standing racism, the systematic racism that lives among the Queensland Police Force. Do you think in time everything will come out in the wash?
Well, because it is unfortunate. There was the Royal Commission was only 4 months. It could easily have gone for 2 years. And we would have been able to dig a lot deeper into that culture. But even in that very short amount of time, and what was uncovered in the evidence and as reported by The Guardian, we've seen a real insight into the culture. And, you know, to be honest, none of it came as a surprise to me, and I'm sure to your listeners out there, a lot of people would not have been in any way surprised by what came out, because that has been their lived experience.
I'm surprised that there were enough brave men and women like Richard to...
Yes, that was surprising. Yeah. Yeah, definitely, and their courage needs to be recognised and respected, and they will continue to need a lot of support going into the future.
Last time we spoke as well, Scott, I mentioned about the way that the police are policing here in West End. And I don't want to quote you, but you know, I think the sentiment of your response was, well, they're probably not doing what they're meant to be doing if their superiors were to be finding out that they were turning a blind eye to certain things or policing in a community fashion. Katerina Carroll welcomed that approach in high-density areas of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Yeah, I don't know if I did actually say that, Dan, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
there's a lot of day-to-day interactions that go on between Aboriginal people and police that, you know, is great. And I've had the benefit of travelling fairly extensively across Queensland with Indigenous communities and seen a lot of interactions, seen a lot of police who are engaged in the community. But I think there's just so much more that can be done. So, years and years ago, I did a report in the aftermath of Cameron Domagie's death on Palm Island, and one of the recommendations I made that sadly wasn't taken up was that the Palm Island community should be paid to induct police recruits. So send them across to Palm for a week and have local people, elders, employed to deliver the cultural awareness training and you know, cultural immersion. That's the sort of thing that I think really needs to be explored, not just, you know, a two-hour online cultural awareness training package.
Yes. You're listening to Let's Talk, and Triple M Murray Country, Queensland Human Rights Commissioner Scott McDougall is with us. And Scott, there are some radical ideas that have been floating around for many years from members of the Indigenous community to defund the police, abolish prisons. I guess they're really calls for systematic changes and overhauling that the current system that we operate in and reimagine a system that's built on Aboriginal terms of reference, not the crime and punishment model. What are your what are your thoughts, I suppose, or response to those radical systematic changes?
Look, I don't think it's that radical. I think, you know, justice reinvestment has been around for quite a while now and is slowly gaining more traction, and I think at a Commonwealth level is the Commonwealth government is expressing a lot more interest in it. And essentially it's about redirecting resources that are, you know, really wasted with punitive approaches that you identified into supporting communities to take control of their, you know, their mob. And it just makes sense. I don't really think it's radical. I think the idea of defund the police is, you know, obviously unrealistic. We will always need a police force. We need to protect everyone. But it's how big that force is a question, and, you know, what their mandate is and who, what other alternative first responders could we have instead of the police. They're all the things that I think we need to explore. So I know there's a lot of anger actually out there in the community that as a response to this Royal Commission, the result has been that the police have been given another $100 million and, you know, want to have more police officers and, a bigger criminal justice footprint essentially. When really that $100 million could be better spent in other areas.
Yes. Now, we've seen over the years that, you know, inquiries deliver recommendations that aren't taken on board or aren't fulfilled, seen all the way through. How many of these recommendations realistically do you think will be taken on board by the Queensland Police?
That's a good question, Dan. They're pretty short time frames, I have to say.
Yeah, 3 months, 6 months,
yeah.
12 months. And
yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at that thinking, is that really achievable?
Yeah. The brief that we've been given, for example, we have got 6 months to basically come to terms with the Queensland Police on to how we will go about reviewing their recruitment and retention strategies. And then have to come back later on and do an assessment of how that has actually been implemented. So that's down the track. So I think that is a good safeguard. There's also an independent implementation monitor who's been appointed. And I think they will have a very critical role in ensuring that implementation does occur. But turning around the culture of an organisation as big as that with the rigidity that is built into the police is an enormous task, and I think, you know, it's going to take an incredible amount of leadership, not just from the police commissioner herself, but right across the rank and file of the police force. And, you know, I think despite that culture that I talked about, there's no doubt a group within the force that are very professional, that are weighed down by what has been happening and actually do want to have a more professional diverse and, you know, responsive police force that actually does reflect the community and meets the community's needs.
Has this put a bum under the police, do you think? Do you think there'll be officers who are thinking twice, or will it be just business as usual, you know, the old firm sticking true to what they've always known? Or, you know, is this really shaking things up?
Well, I think it has to be said that the police union has been the guardian of police culture for some time, and the police union doesn't have any women on its executive, for example. The police union didn't think there was any need for an inquiry. The police union described the recommendations of Margaret McMurdo's reports as woke nonsense. So I think there's a real issue there about the role that the union plays in the culture of the Queensland Police Force. And society has moved on. When you look at other areas, say, for example, where I come from, the legal profession, the culture that I was introduced to in the 80s as a, you know, little law clerk running around town is so vastly different to the culture of the legal profession now. And I just think that in many ways the police service has been sort of trapped in this, to use Noel Pearson's word, vortex. I won't say redneck vortex, but trapped in this vortex where they haven't really progressed. They don't reflect the community. They are made up mostly of white men who are choosing white men to be their colleagues and their recruits.
Mm. What did you make of the commissioner coming on this program here? I've had since, you know, dozens of calls and emails saying, how did you manage to pull that off, and why did she show up? I was surprised that she did show up, but, you know, it also tipped my lid to her for coming on Aboriginal radio and speaking to blackfellas.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think it's great that she came. And, you know, I worked pretty closely with police during the G20 in my previous role, and Katerina Carroll was in a leadership role there, and I really remember one moment where she was dancing around the fire with Coco Wharton at Musgrave Park. Queensland Police were led really well. I know for a fact that the New South Wales contingent that were up in Queensland really were spoiling for some conflict, and the Queensland leadership actually hosed that all down. And so the protests didn't get out of hand. I think there's this fantastic opportunity for the leadership of QPS to seize this moment that's in front of them and actually address the history and just not embark on some token measures, but get really serious and listen to Aboriginal elders, actually sit down and properly listen to them about what is going wrong. But there's Queensland Police are only just one part of, you know, what is a, you know, a much bigger problem that I don't need to tell you about. But there are so many other issues, like education, for example, kids being suspended and expelled from schools at outrageous rates, access to health, et cetera, et cetera. But there is no doubt a brilliant opportunity for the police commissioner just to seize this moment and come make a genuine reset of the relationship. And, you know, that's going to have to be massive to turn around the history of Queensland. Yes. But it is possible.
There have been calls for her head, particularly from the mainstream media and others. She seems pretty unflappable, does the commissioner, and some might say, you know, she inherited a lot of this drama. On the other hand, you know, she has been an executive leader in the Queensland Police Force for many, many years. Is she the right person for the job to get that change happening?
Yeah, it's not really for me to make comments about who should be sitting in jobs. But like I said last week, it is essential that the leadership of QPS stand up at this moment. So time will tell.
Yep, and I'm willing to, and I'm sure we're all willing to give her the opportunity to get that done. And
yeah,
wish her all the best.
Yes, definitely.
Scott, appreciate your time once again.
And no worries,
thank you for joining us on Let's Talk.
Thank you.